This is Making Sense of the Media. I'm Lisa Peeks with Kelly McBride from the Poynter Institute for Media Studies. This week, memorial services were held for two television reporters from Virginia who were shot and killed during a live broadcast. As coverage unfolded in the media, we saw a range of responses, including unedited footage of the event, and an emotional message from WDBJ General Manager Jeff Marks.
I cannot tell you how much they were loved, Allison and Adam, by the WDBJ 7 team. And our hearts are broken, and our sympathies go to the entire staff here, but also the parents and family of Adam Ward and Allison Parker, who were just out doing their job today.
Kelly, it seems like he hit a really good tone right there. What do you see in the way he spoke on air about the tragedy?
I see a man who is balancing dual responsibilities. As a news organization, you have an obligation to provide information to your audience. But he's also got a family that's been ripped apart. It's a workplace family. And he's trying to reveal a little bit of the impact of what happened while still fulfilling the organization's obligation to keep the news on the air. And he did a really good job.
When a tragedy like this makes the journalists, you know, the news, how do people expect the reporters covering the issue to behave?
Journalists have to remain professional, but not be robotic. I caution journalists all the time to not exploit their emotions either. Good journalists do this all the time in stories. They often get super angry about an injustice, or they experience deep compassion and sympathy for a victim. Most of the time when that happens to journalists, their emotions have no place in the story because the story's not about them. In this case, the story was about this newsroom, WDBJ, and so the emotions had a place, but they couldn't overwhelm the obligation to report the information.
Well, journalists do work in dangerous conditions quite often. How is this different?
There's a difference between an inherently dangerous situation like a war zone or an unstable country where journalists are kidnapped and attacked all the time, and this scenario, which was really a mundane, everyday news story. This was really about workplace violence. It was somebody who had worked for the station before. It's really hard to be prepared for something like that.
Yeah. When something as horrific as the shooting in Virginia happens, what happens at Poynter?
First of all, we report the news. We are the news site for the journalism industry, and we saw our traffic go through the roof because people wanted information about what was happening to these journalists. We also become the resource for journalism organizations the world over as they make decisions. In this case, newsrooms had to make tough calls about how to use the video.
Graphic stuff.
Right, and really hard to decide what is the appropriate use of that and what's gratuitous and what's too shocking. And then the third thing that we do is we provide analysis. Shows call us and ask us to weigh in. And so we provide a level of commentary as experts on journalism.
So what do you think is going to change for WDBJ as they go back to normal?
These are really small companies, 20, 30, 40 employees usually in the newsroom, and they work in pretty tight quarters and pretty closely. And I think it gave the audience a chance to look inside and see how it does tend to operate. So I think they probably have a different appreciation of the work that goes into putting out the news on television.
And who the people are, not robots, but
human beings.
Yep. Kelly McBride with the Poynter Institute, thank you.
You're welcome.